Next on NPR's From the Top. A brilliant 18-year-old composer with some pretty insightful things to say about getting teenagers into classical music.
Classical musicians sort of are intent on targeting classical music at an older generation and promoting, you know, older classical music to them. Yeah. But I found from my own experience, just sort of burning CDs from my friends who don't listen to classical music at all, that a lot of them who wouldn't listen to something like Mozart, that they consider sort of old and boring, the same way they consider old popular music from, you know, 1890s or whatever, old and boring, would find that the music that classical composers are writing today is actually very interesting and intense. Yeah. And they can really enjoy something as complicated as, you know, Elliot Carter, or as sort of radical as Steve Reich or something like that.
From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. And this week, the young composer you just heard is part of our annual highlight show. This year, our highlights theme is Uncommon Combos. That's uncommon combinations of young musicians. I'm Joanne Robinson, sitting in the studio here with none other than my Road Warrior touring companion, From the Top's host, Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome, everybody. Happy to be in the studio with you today, Joanne. You ready to do a little reminiscing from the Top style?
Absolutely. I love these shows.
But first, a bit more explication of our whole theme thing today. Uncommon combos. What does it mean? Well, first of all, it's an all-chamber music show.
Kids who've come on our show as a pre-existing group.
Right. And we chose these particular young chamber music groups not only because they are some of our very best, but because they're different.
Well, they're a little weird.
Well, not weird. They're exciting in their instrumental makeup or in their repertoire in some way.
So not a lot of Mozart string quartets today?
No. Not a lot of Brahms piano trios either. But bassoon ensembles?
Yes, the bassoon ensembles.
Oh, yes. You'll love this one then. A sextet of bassoonists, actually from the Cincinnati area. They're the Northern Hills Bassoon Ensemble, 13-year-old Zarina Zhang, 16-year-old Justin Dahlem, 17-year-old Brian Flynn, and 18-year-olds Ben Mormond, Greg Hughes, and Kristen Rude, and they're performing Richard Cioffari's Forgotten March. Listening to these kids play, I challenge you not to smile.
Thank you. Chiafari's Forgotten March. We heard the Northern Hills Bassoon Ensemble from Cincinnati, Ohio. Joining us now at the microphones, we have Justin Dahlem, 16 years old, Ben Mormond, 18 years old, and Kristen Rude, 18 years old. Really fun piece, you guys. Nicely played.
Thank you.
Nicely played. I know that, I mean, Vivaldi loved the bassoon. Stravinsky opened the Rite of Spring with a bassoon solo, but it's always known as the clown of the orchestra, the bassoon. And I mean, does that irritate you sometimes, or is that okay? You're okay with your comic nature or something?
Oh, we like to be as serious as we can all the
time.
I can't even say that with a straight face.
I know exactly. You know, it's like, just sounds almost like a baseball team after a Mexican meal or something. The first bassoon ensemble I knew about was this now famous bubonic bassoon quartet. It's a great sound. Now, and you all study with the same teacher. Mm-hmm. Who's your teacher?
Russ Henkel. He's a great teacher. Mm-hmm. He's probably the closest thing I have to a dad, aside from my dad, who's sitting right up there.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Dad.
And he didn't conduct you today, but I mean, he obviously coaches you, and so what's he like to work with?
Well, he's a great guy. He's a very, very good motivator. Whether it's giving you the disappointed voice when you didn't practice enough, or threatening you with the gun he keeps behind his door.
Gun? What does he say the gun is for?
Squirrels.
Oh yeah.
And moles.
He said he had a big woodchuck problem.
Oh yeah, those woodchucks. Gotta have the total array of 44 magnums for the woodchucks.
There was a student who took their lesson before mine, and I have never seen them again.
Okay, plot thickens. Now, you've all been quite the world travelers. And Justin, I know your dad, who we've been introduced to, is a professor, and you go where he goes. And where has he been?
He's taken a few international biodiversity trips down to Costa Rica a couple of times.
Wow.
He had a trip. We went to Oxford and London, I guess, mm-hmm. and Switzerland.
Neat. All over the place. And Kristen, your dad also travels for work?
Yeah, he used to commute to South America for Procter & Gamble.
Wow.
And so I met him down in Peru once, and we saw some Incan ruins, took some pictures with llamas, and had a good time.
And you've lived a few places. I mean, before Cincinnati, you were mm-hmm. where were you living?
I was born in Portland, Oregon. I lived there for 10 years, and then I moved to San Antonio, Texas.
Wow.
And then I moved here, or Cincinnati.
Great. And Ben, what about you? What amazing travels have you been on?
I haven't really been on anything interesting. I haven't left the country.
Well, that's okay. Tell us about some of the other interesting things you do, Ben.
I don't really do anything else exciting.
Nothing at all?
No, just bassoon ensemble is just about it.
Okay, now that's proof that not every From the Top kid has a big story to tell.
He was joking.
I know.
I like their coach's method of motivation, though.
Oh, right. Guns are so often overlooked by chamber music coaches when really they're a very effective motivational tool.
Okay, listeners, we're joking.
Of course we're joking.
We don't want to get tons of email about condoning violence in the practice.
Wait, but we do want to get tons of email from you about music or our young performers or our shows. We love listener comments and we really pay attention to your feedback, good or bad. Please write to us by going to fromthetop.org and we'll get back to you.
The Rattan Percussion Trio's up next. Yes, I love this stuff.
I do too.
But before we play their music, you also have to understand that this is a trio playing one instrument. What you're about to hear is one marimba, three kids.
They are Molly Ye, 15 years old, Stephanie Weiss, 16, and Michael Drake, 18 years old, all from the Chicago area and all studying with Midwest Young Artists.
Also, you'll hear that they're not always just playing the wooden keys of the marimba in this performance.
Right.
They play the end boards.
The sides of the marimba.
The sides. And on the pipes, too. They're performing a piece called Stubernick by Mark Ford.
Thank you. Stubenik by composer Mark Ford, played for us by the Rattan Percussion Trio, ages 15 to 18, all from the Chicago area. Fantastically done. It's no wonder to me, you guys. Well, tell us, Michael, the prize that you won for this.
We competed in the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition held in South Bend, Indiana, and we won the gold medal in the junior division.
There you go. Congratulations. I mean, it's a testament to the wonderful, you know, chemistry that you have together. Also, that you have to say that the Fischoff. I mean, it's not a bad thing about the Fischoff at all. But these chamber music competitions tend to gravitate in their prize winners towards the more sort of traditional groups, the string quartets, the piano trios, wind quintets, maybe a percussion trio. I mean, was that the first time ever that a percussion trio had won the gold medal?
Yeah.
I imagine. Yeah. So. Stephanie, and apparently it was so exciting when you won this prize that Michael actually cracked a smile.
Yeah, it was a big step for him.
Is he known for his... is he reserved most
He's
of the time?
He's really serious, all the time.
So. It's not like I'm a stoic person. Mm-hmm. It's just that when I'm with these two, they have inside jokes that just come out
nonstop. It's rough for him to be around us because...
He thinks he's just too cool for us.
We're crazy.
But really? In actuality, we're just too cool for him.
There comes a point where they just start giggling and laughing, and I just become so confused, I just kind of stare.
That's what we do, Michael. We're girls.
Oh, poor Michael. It's not hard to sense the kind of chemistry that rules that group.
Yeah, teen-girl chemistry.
Yeah, well, besides... teenage flirting. There's serious musical collaboration going on there.
Chris, do you remember why they're called the Rattan Trio?
Gosh, I don't remember. I have no idea. Don't remember.
Because the shafts of their marimba mallets are made of rattan.
The shafts are rattan. Yes, aren't we prepared for today's highlights show?
One of us is.
Google is your friend, I guess.
From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E.
Okay, get ready to take it down a notch mood-wise as we go from the controlled chaos of a percussion trio to the sounds of the cello at its most sublime. Cello, you ask? Does cello belong on our Uncommon Combinations theme show? Happily, yes, and here's why.
Now I'm a very lucky man because I get to play with not one, not two, but three cellists at the same time. And they brought a beautiful piece to play for us. Like our vocalist earlier today, all three of our cellists attend the Walnut Hill School here in Natick, Massachusetts, and they are 17-year-old Matan Harev from Brookline, Massachusetts, Marcus Johnson, 17 years old from the Minneapolis area, and 18-year-old Ki-hyung Kim from Seoul, Korea. Marcus is at the mic now. Marcus, while I move over to the piano, will you please introduce the piece for everybody?
Sure. Today, we'll be playing The Requiem by David Popper.
Thank you.
Our superb cello trio featured 18-year-old Kyun Kim, 17-year-old Matan Korev, and 17-year-old Marcus Johnson, all studying at the Walnut Hill School in Natick, Massachusetts.
And of course, you at the piano. Wow, such a moving performance.
Yeah, but after playing that kind of mournful elegy, you need to lighten things up a little. You know, a little laughter at the reception after the funeral.
Agreed.
These three kids wanted to lighten things up with a game of From the Top's Musical Jeopardy, so we did. Given the nature of the group, however, you can understand that we felt the standard Jeopardy categories just wouldn't do.
Well, in honor of these guys, we've created three very special, very stupid categories for today's game. The categories are things that are cello, things that are mellow, and things that are jello.
Oh, boy.
And Chris, each correct answer gets 10 points. And if you answer a question correctly, you get to pick the next category. We'll play for 2 minutes.
Okay, first let's test our hardware. Matan, let's hear what you've got there. Okay, very mellifluous sounding. And Key, what have you got? Oh, yeah. Okay. And Marcus, what have you got? Okay. I think we're ready to play. Marcus, because I'm really scared of that sound, why don't you pick up the first category?
Let's go mellow.
Mellow? Okay. This one will be good. Uh-oh. How does world-renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly mellow out before playing one of his highly emotional solo recitals in a major concert venue? Thank you very much. Does he, A, helicopter in at the last moment and frighten the crowd into obedience? B, listen to the Dave Matthews Band on his Discman? C, smoke several packs of cigarettes? Or D, do a bit of yoga? Key? Not sure, huh?
I'd have to go for...
It's a hard choice.
D.
D. Oh, yes, indeed, a bit of yoga. You've got it.
All right.
Perfect. Got a good answer. Key, you get to pick the category.
I'll pick cello.
Cello. Okay, well, very, very good category. Here we go. Which country is the most likely source for your bow wood? A?
No.
Key's going A, Canada. A, Canada. B, China. Or C, Brazil. Go ahead, Key. Key, really, anytime you want to. Yeah, Key will be playing the Flight of the Bumblebee on the buzzer for us now.
Brazil.
Excellent.
Yes.
Good.
Score.
Our rainforest. Pick another one. Go ahead.
Jello.
Jello. Okay. When Sean Puffy Combs was arrested, who was his companion? Matan.
Jennifer Lopez.
As in J-Lo. Okay, Matan.
I'll take cello.
Cello. Before there were end pins, how did the cellist keep the cello from sliding? Key?
They had things that connected this to their neck.
Actually, we were sort of looking for squeezing the cello between the knees.
Yeah, that too.
Sort of, yeah, that too. Sorry, Matan, the board is still yours.
I'll go with mellow.
Mellow, okay, here we go with mellow, and... Okay, which of these movements from Bach's first unaccompanied cello suites is the most mellow? A, the courant, B, the sarabande, C, the gigue. Matan?
The sarabande.
Very good, excellent. One more time. Well,
2 minutes are up, Chris. And it looks like we have a tie with 20 points, both Matan and Key.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. As our winners, you both get the much coveted From the Top kazoo.
Yes.
And Marcus, since you lost, you get two kazoos.
How would you like to dedicate a piece a kid plays on From the Top to someone special in your life? You can email us a poetic dedication to an old teacher, to your kid, to the person who suffers through all your practicing, and we might just put it on the air. Email dedications at fromthetop.org. You're listening to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, it's our annual highlight show, and take note, there's a theme to our proceedings.
There's a method to our madness.
Teenage chamber music groups on the odd side.
Uncommon combinations. That's what we're calling this collection of From the Top moments. These groups are not only some of our best, but they're also special either for their uncommon instrumentation or repertoire. I'm Christopher O'Reilly.
And I'm Joanne Robinson.
Flute choirs are not the norm on From the Top, would you say, Joanne?
No. We've had, I think we've had only one flute choir on our show, haven't we?
Yep, just one. This one. They're from all around the Tidewater area of Virginia, and they're all students at the Governor's School for the Arts in Norfolk. They include Matthew Aiello and Joshua Van Davier, both 18 years old, Dana Leonard and Emily Myers, both 15 years old, and 16-year-old Melanie Libby.
The flute choir's coach is Patty Waters. We've got Melanie at the mic. Melanie, tell us about this piece you're going to play.
We're going to be playing the Academy of Dance by Catherine McMichael, Movement 2, Ecco Say.
Okay. It's all yours. Choir from the Governor's School for the Arts in Norfolk, Virginia, playing Catherine McMichael's Ecco Say. Joining me to talk a little are three members of the group, Matthew Aiello, 18, Melanie Libby, 16, and Joshua Van Davier, 18. Nice going, guys. Great sound.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Nice little piece. Two boys in this flute choir. Yes. 2 out of 5 is... refresh my memory. Isn't that a little against stereotype?
Oh, yeah. I know. Everybody thinks of, you know, middle school band sitting up in the front row.
we think of it often as a woman's instrument. But there's truth to the stereotype. And to that point, Melanie, I want to assure you that you're not alone in this. We've had other young women on this show who've admitted this. Melanie, why did you choose the flute?
Well, when I was in 5th grade, the band, the middle school band, came to my school, and I was really excited to hear them. And as soon as I saw them, as soon as I walked into the auditorium, I saw the flutes, because they're right in the front, because they have band. And I noticed the flutes, and they were really pretty because they were shining in the light. And then I looked up, and all the girls that were sitting were really, really pretty. And they looked really, really pretty with their flutes. So I was like, hey, I want to play flute because I want to be one of the pretty flute girls.
Flute as fashion statement, of course. And so, of course, if the flute player is pretty, the girl who plays the bass flute has got to be really pretty.
Oh, yeah.
There you are. It's a major piece of plumbing, that bass flute.
That's
I've always
what I call
liked it.
It.
Plumbing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice C joint there. That's great.
Big diesel.
Look, nobody has to convince me that the flute is a great instrument for men, too. I mean, I've toured with James Galway, and the stereotype, I must admit, is pretty ingrained that the flute is a girly instrument.
Well, Josh and I are going to change that.
Well, I hope you do, because you ought to become famous soloists like James Galway or, before him, Jean-Pierre Rampal.
No. I mean, that'd be great if it happened. But no, we've got a better idea.
What's that?
Well, you know how the Comedy Central show, The Man Show, was canceled?
Oh, thank goodness they canceled that.
Joanne, come on, it had its moments.
Well, when The Man Show was canceled, we made a pitch to Comedy Central for The Flute Man Show.
With more of the show that proves that playing the flute rocks.
For guys.
Yeah, don't even try playing the flute if you're a sissy.
Or a wimp.
Here, look at these biceps.
Wow, Matt, they're killer. Now check out these. Pecs.
Awesome, dude. Awesome.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, Josh?
Tell everybody what we're gonna play today.
Totally. Josh and I are gonna use our extra heavy alto and bass flutes to play our own version of Song for the Man. Off the Beastie Boys' Hello Nasty album.
It's so nasty with all those nasty flutes.
You got that right, Josh.
And anybody who says it isn't better say it to my face.
Yeah, say it to his face.
Because I am one mean macho flute player.
Mean and macho.
You want to see these pecs again?
Or how about these biceps? Look at these. Manly.
Hey you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You're not man enough to play the flute.
Oh, yeah?
No, you're not man enough.
Look, I don't know what happened. We were calmly taking a walk down from the top memory lane on a musically adventurous highlights program, and we unexpectedly met up with the Flute Man Show skit.
There's no excuse for it.
Hans and Franz aside, we're not sure who's to blame, but I can assure you we've found our way back to the high road, and we won't veer again.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.npr.org. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
On to our next ensemble, which is uncommon for the classiest reason. Not so much for the instrumentation, although they are a string quintet, including a double bass, which we don't see all the time, but for repertoire. They're playing new music, the music of a fellow teenage composer, 18-year-old Stephen Feigenbaum from Winchester, Massachusetts.
Stephen, welcome. We're going to hear a string quintet you've written in a moment, but first I want to talk to you because you have some really interesting views on the cohabiting of classical music and popular music in our time.
That's right. I think that classical musicians should acknowledge pop music as a legitimate expression of music, and that I think that classical music needs to be better integrated into the mainstream of music. And in order to do that, I think both sides need to sort of agree that they're all sort of good ways of expressing music.
Yeah.
But I found from my own experience, just sort of burning CDs from my friends who don't listen to classical music at all, that a lot of them who wouldn't listen to something like Mozart, that they consider sort of old and boring, the same way they consider old popular music from, you know, 1890s or whatever, old and mm-hmm. boring, mm-hmm. would find that the music that classical composers were writing today is actually very interesting and intense, yeah. and they can really enjoy something as complicated as, you know, Elliot Carter, or as sort of radical as Steve Reich or something like that, mm-hmm. which sort of people don't acknowledge, that I think the classical musicians sort of are intent on targeting classical music at an older generation and promoting, you know, older classical music to them. Mm-hmm. Rather than promoting, you know, newer classical music to younger people, which I think would be more effective.
You had a great seat at the Boston Symphony lately. What were you going to see?
Yeah, it was nice. We went to concert of all BSO commissions from their history, which is, you know, relatively short history, but they've they've contributed some really great pieces to the repertoire. Stravinsky's Symphony of Psalms, Bartok Concerto for Orchestra.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Koussevitzky years. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and many others. So they put those on a program, and I went to see it. Mm-hmm. A wonderful concert. And so my parents and I, we got seats up in the stage left balcony, which is really nice because when they build the stage out, which they sometimes do for extra players, the balcony is actually directly over the stage and you can really get a good view of the conductor. And so, you know, we wanted to get some really good seats, so we got them early for those seats. Nice. And they were split up and, you know, it was sort of arbitrary as to who took which seats, but it turns out my parents ended up sitting next to James Levine's mother.
How did they know it was his mother?
They didn't. It was just some old woman. But then they were just sort of like, they were talking to her, and they were sort of like, so what brings you to this concert? She's like, oh, my son's in the orchestra.
Huh.
And they're like, oh, what is he playing? She's like, the baton. But I mean, she's a regular at the BSO, which shouldn't be surprising at all.
Nice.
But the best part is I ended up sitting next to the composer John Harbison.
Oh, well,
And he recognized me because he'd given a master class at the Tanglewood program the previous summer, and I had showed him some of my music, and I guess he takes note of, you know, the composers who are sort of around his, you know, local area in Boston.
Did you know at that point that you were going to be having a mentorship session with Mr. Harbison?
I did not know that.
See? Now let's tell everybody what we're talking about.
You've
been selected for our Young Composer Project, so you get to work with a famous adult composer, and your session is with...
John Harbison.
John Harbison. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
That is fantastic.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about this piece we're going to hear.
Well, it's called Serenade for Strings. And that title sort of harkens back to the Tchaikovsky Serenade for Strings, which was the inspiration for the piece. But I would say, as far as the style, I looked more to Mahler and composers like him who wrote string pieces that were sort of very romantic and slow mm-hmm. and sort of with dense counterpoint. Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote it, I was looking a lot at the scores, especially from Mahler's Fifth Symphony, Adagietto.
But the purpose behind the piece, I mean, are you hoping to be the next Mahler, or are you putting yourself in his shoes, or is this an exercise?
It was kind of an exercise. I think at the time, and I started it more than 2 years ago, I was just sort of writing what I felt like writing, and, you know, how can you not be attracted to that kind of music?
Yeah.
But I think now I look back and I say, well, that was a really good exercise in writing like that style, mm-hmm. and, you know, writing a piece with good counterpoint and string writing, but I wouldn't consider myself a composer in, like, a late Romantic style. Mm-hmm. I mean... the piece is about, you know, 100 years too late, if that's my goal. So,
not a moment too soon, though. It's a beautiful piece. And congratulations are in order, by the way. You just got national recognition for this piece.
That's correct. The Serenade for Strings won second place, as well as several awards along the way in a national competition.
Oh, because there are regionals and locals.
There's regionals, yeah. there's state. And so MTNA, which is a music teachers organization mm-hmm. in the U.S., had this composition competition, and in my senior division, which is high school,
yeah.
I was recognized for this piece.
Well, we're very, very, very proud to have it on the show. Have a seat while I bring back the quartet to play it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hear the Tarantella String Quartet, and we're also going to welcome 17-year-old bassist Nicholas Schwartz from Brookline, Massachusetts. Again, this is Stephen Feigenbaum's Serenade for Strings.
We heard Serenade for Strings by 18-year-old composer Stephen Feigenbaum from Winchester, Massachusetts. Our violinists were Julia Glenn from Wellesley, Massachusetts, and Robert Anemone from Williamsburg, Virginia, both 17. Our violist, Celia Hatton, 17 years old, from Springfield, Virginia, and our cellist, Thomas Mesa, 16 years old, from Miami, Florida, and performing on the double bass from Brookline, Massachusetts, 17-year-old Nicholas Schwartz.
And now for the icing on this highlight show cake.
Yep, we've saved the best for last. We're closing today's show with the king of instruments, the piano.
Says the great pianist himself.
But again, of course, this is a thematically appropriate, uncommon combination. In fact, this is a group called 6HM, which stands for a six-handed monster.
It's three pianists at one keyboard.
Fighting over real estate, tying themselves into knots, all the while tackling Bernstein's famous tune, America, from West Side Story.
Our intrepid pianists are 16-year-old Wei Wei Su, 17-year-old Kaiser Aniwar, and 19-year-old Siyi Fong. These kids all study at the Interlochen Arts Academy, and the adaptation of the Bernstein for six-handed piano is by their teacher there, Derison Duarte.
We'll leave you with this serious dose of fun. I'm Christopher O'Reilly.
And I'm Joanne Robinson.
Join us to take it from the top next week, and now Bernstein's America.
This special highlights episode of From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker with Tom Vagley. The music producer is Tom Vignieri and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our technical director is Barrett Willett. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.